Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Hey, Barbecue Bob, we're going to get everybody ready for the Super Bowl. Is that one of them words where we have to, you know, give credit to somebody else because they call it a Super Bowl, or are we allowed to use that? I know, right, you can't use March Madness without giving somebody credit, but whoever deserves credit, they get it, right? Because we're getting ready to do some food for the Super Bowl. We thought we'd hit it a week early so you had time to do your grocery shopping and get out there and get your ingredients for your tasty treats that are going to be there for the game. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for making an appointment to hang out with us on the radio, terrestrial towers. But if you don't have the availability of, you know, picking it up on your local station when you want it, you can always podcast us. We have a huge podcast membership, and it's free. And you can just sign up, go to thegrillingguys.com, look for the earmuffs. You go to the iHeart app.
I think those are headphones.
Yeah, okay.
Instead of earmuffs. Well, this time of year, though, it's cold out. They're earmuffs. We'll go with that. Yeah.
Good. Thank you for correcting me. And only 1 minute in.
Well, you got to get started, right?
Yeah. And I didn't bring any beer this morning, so I'm going to have to put up with that for an hour with not even a beer. Anyway, you can go to the iHeart app and check out the podcast section. Look for The Grillin' Guys under, I believe it's ESPN 961. And you can get our show sent to your phone, to your computer, any device you want, and just listen to us at your convenience, because you don't want to miss a word of this. We work really hard to bring you giant words of wisdom.
Right. Maybe nothing more than three syllables, though, because that's beyond our scope. But anyway, Barbecue Bob, this week we kicked the week off in a grand fashion. Something that I maybe wouldn't recommend to every griller out there. We thought we were men enough to do it, and at the end of the day, we pulled it off, but not without some challenges, I'll put it that way. And that is that Barbecue Bob and I both go to the same church, and a couple times a year our men's ministry gets together and does what's called a steak night. And, you know, we're grilling guys, so we get tapped to cook the steaks.
Yep. And actually, once a year, every year in January.
Right. Yep. All right. So the steaks, in turn, are really whole beef loins, right? Prime rib loins, right? And they got the bones in them, but we debone them, and then we cook the ribs up. And these are all on a smoker, by the way. We cook the ribs up separate so the guys, if they want to try the ribs, they can. And then we cook these whole beef loins. Well, Barbecue Bob has that American Barbecue Systems smoker, which is a incredible machine. It's like a big rotisserie, and it's got 16 racks that circulate inside the smoking chamber, offset cooking. And, you know, you get a pretty hot fire going. We put two bags of charcoal in that offset smoker, lit them up, let them get hot, loaded that thing up with 16 whole beef loins. There was 300 pounds in there, right? And we get there, and it's 21 degrees out. We're there, and it's like, ooh, this big old iron smoker, she's going to be struggling a little bit with 300 pounds of meat and 20 degrees on the outside. We better give this thing a little extra time, right?
Right.
So we hit it at we put the stuff on. We got a serve at 7 for what we thought was going to be 290 guys. So we had done some calculations, and I think they brought us 19 of these big loins, which is a lot of meat, but Bob's smoker's huge, and so we got 16.
300 pounds is what I picked up initially from
right,
Sobey.
Right. So we can get it all on Bob's smoker, right? But then we get there, and there's not 16, there's 19 of them. So we had another smoker there. We lit it up, and we put those three in that smoker. Well, the guy that's organizing the thing comes out at about 3:30, and he says, we're in trouble. And we put the meat on it, too, and we're like, what's going on? He goes, these RSVPs are flying in here to this deal. We're up to close to 400 now. And Bob and I are looking at each other like, we don't have enough meat for 400 guys. We probably got enough for 300 and a little more because we always plan for a little extra. So he blows to the store and comes back with five more. So now we're up to 24 of these whole beef loins, and those get on the smoker at 4 o'clock, and we've got to have them done by 7. So this was the challenge of this major cook that we're doing, right? So what did we do is we ramped up the temperature in that other smoker to the best we can, but again, it's another big hunk
of
iron.
Well, here's one of the faults. And also we had an extra smoker that our friend Mark brought down. But here's one of the problems. When you have a bunch of meat on that's been on for an hour and a half, 2 hours, that's up to like 110, 115 or whatever. Now you're throwing a bunch of other cold pieces on, or you're opening it way too much, so you're really starting to stagger things. It's what I would call a bit of a nightmare because now you have multiple entries into your cook. So you no longer know how the timing's going to work out on all the pieces. There are several different stagings that you've got. So
right.
What you end up doing is checking your temperatures on those a bunch more, which means I'm losing all my heat every time I open it up. So it turned out to be a smoke inhalation thing for us.
Oh, man, yeah. And,
but you know what? At the end of the thing, we had everybody fed. We had five left over.
Right.
It was kind of like we started off with fish and five loaves of bread or something.
Right, yeah.
The meat was multiplying in the smoker. It was a miracle.
Well, we cut it a little thinner than we maybe normally would have to try to make it go the distance, and it did.
Yeah, and then we had a bunch of ribs and steak loins left over.
Right.
Which I felt kind of bad about because I saw some of those steaks they were cutting, and they were just not quite up to our
standard. They were 3/4 of an inch. They weren't an inch is what we were doing, and we were trying to get 18 to 20 out of each one when we normally would get 15.
Yep.
So that's what was happening. But anyway, everybody got fed. Everybody had a good time. We did have a catastrophe. I'll save you all the details on that. But basically, a couple of those, Bob's rotisserie on the inside of that thing, we had that thing jam-packed. It couldn't hold another piece of meat. And we had two of them flop off.
They started hitting each other.
They started hitting each other.
So overloaded.
When they swell up. They're double racks and four. Anyway.
Yeah, we got over
long story. They fell in the bottom of the smoker, and to accent his comments even more, we had to unload the smoker, the rotisserie one, and I'm diving down in there. This thing's big. I'm into my waist inside a smoker that's got a 350-degree fire or more 8 inches from my head, and I'm picking up these loins off the bottom of the smoker.
We got her done.
We got her done. I had a little suntan on the back of my neck, but we got her done. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. But I guess I would recommend is be prepared for anything. We've done this many times, and we thought we had this thing locked down, man. But there's always a curveball that comes at you.
So we fed over 400 guys anyway.
Yeah,
it was a record event for them. But then I got to spend the rest of the week down in my new office mudding and taping drywall. And you said you're going to do your girlfriend's
right.
basement.
Yep. We're going to take that challenge on for Lisa. You bet.
I'll tell you what, I'm really slow at it. It's not that easy. And I found out that I am not fast at mudding because it just seems very tedious. I know some guys are probably expert at it, and they're called drywallers.
Right. Yeah, well, I'll get out on those job sites, and it's amazing the speed at which those guys go on the commercial job sites, but it's what they do all day, every day. It's like anything else. You get really good at it. You understand it.
So to make it a little bit better, I also started going back to Snap Fitness of Lowell.
Yeah.
And they have Lowell Belding in Greenville. Fantastic place, but getting back to the gym was the best thing I could have done because I find that I can't work as well when I'm getting so out of shape, and I'm getting really out of shape. So it's just really nice to get that sweat and get building muscle again. And
I think your right arm looks awesome from tipping beers and wine.
Yeah, well, right? I'll tell you what, when you fall out of it, you fall hard.
Right.
And it's really hard to get back at it. I'd encourage you all to check them out. Snap Fitness of Lowell or Belding in Greenville.
Coming up next, some healthy snacks for your Super Bowl party. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Standard Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Hey, it's Super Bowl time, Bob, and we're going to do some snacks. This is one of my favorite shows because I love eating munchy food. We were talking about being healthy in the last segment. Well, you know what? This is a day off because some of these things, you can make them pretty healthy, but some of them you just don't want to.
Right.
You just want it to be what it is, man. So take it away. What do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, and that's funny because sometimes you do have to take some time off. Sunday night, I decided at 3 o'clock, I am not going to be down there mudding. I'm going up, and I'm going to watch some football. And my dear wife slammed with work, so she's sitting on the couch with her computer editing depositions. So I had to go down in the basement and watch it on the big screen in the TV room, which we never use anymore since the kids are gone.
Right.
So I had a nice little theater set up, and I got to watch football all night, and that was really nice. I didn't even feel guilty. Great grills for the game. An easy one is
now you're talking about equipment now rather than a recipe, right?
No, great grill snacks for the
game. Oh, okay, snacks. Okay, I'm with you.
There are all sorts of variations of these, or you can just make your own. But I find that Super Bowl parties, and that's what we're all going to talk about because we're all going to go to one, or we're going to have one at our house,
right?
You just want stuff that's easy to put on a plate and eat without making a mess and without people dripping all over your carpet or whatever. And
yep.
So a lot of chicken will be consumed, right?
Sure.
And so where I'm going to go with this is chicken sticks.
Oh.
And you can make them out of chicken breasts. You can use skinless, boneless thighs. I think it's a good time to get your deep fryer out, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because we don't use them enough because we're trying to not eat so much fried food. But why do you have a fryer if you're not using it?
Well, and the thing is with the deep fried is the batter is what gets you,
right?
And so if you go light or no batter on some of this stuff, then it's not so bad for you.
So another thing I really like.
So what are you deep frying?
Just chicken strips.
Okay.
I'm just going to buy the tenderloins.
Are you marinating them at all?
I'm just going to bread them, and I'm going to put some maybe some Cajun spice on them, and then I'm going to have a couple different sauces, a sweet sauce and a hot sauce to dip them in.
Okay, so you're breading them in like...
And that Greg Brown who called in last week, I'll be at his place.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just going to bring
some
stuff
over. So you'll be having those tasty deer treats too, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, he doesn't have any backstrap left.
Oh, well, that's right, and you're not bringing any.
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's right.
But I'd borrow some from you if you had some.
Right, but I don't.
Smoked meatballs. You want an excuse to get your grill out? Smoked meatballs.
Those are good.
Now, I'm going to finally have my grill up and running again this week because I went on to Amazon and ordered a couple of those ceramic glass panels for my tech.
Oh.
Because I broke them both now.
Ooh.
And I have new burners, so I'm going to rebuild it this week, and I will be grilling up the Rumaki at Greg's house because he's got that new Weber grill.
So that's grilling, but the smoked meatballs, we made a meatloaf that was smoked, and this would be the same derivative of that. You could just ball it up rather than putting it in a loaf. I took a pound of Italian sausage, sweet Italian sausage, and mixed it with 2 pounds of ground beef, right? So I got pork and beef in this meatloaf.
That's good.
And you ball it up in a golf ball size, roll them up, and then set them on your smoker, right? And I'd run it at 275 like you do for pretty much any smoker. And I would put a little heavier smoke on the meatballs because it's ground meat and it can take it. Right?
I would even tell you a nice variation from that is to use just all Italian sausage.
Right.
I used to mix it with hamburger too. And number one, I don't mix it very well. Number two, the more you mix a ground meat, the tougher it gets.
Right.
So if you just buy some bulk Italian sausage, Sobey has it. R&J Best Choice. Who's the guy over in Lansing? Marendorf.
Right.
All these guys will sell you bulk Italian sausage.
Yep.
And then you can just scoop up your meatballs nice and lightly. I wouldn't put any breading in them or anything.
Right.
I might put some egg and some onion and pepper.
Which is what was in the meatball, or was in the meatloaf, is, of
right.
course, we did
right.
that. But.
So I'm not going to work that too hard, and I'm going to throw it on the smoker or on the grill. And even grilling it's fine, but you
right.
get a little different flavor off of it when you do it that way.
The beauty of the smoker versus the grill for me is I can set them in there and let them cook, and I don't have to touch them. I feel like when I'm grilling them, I got to roll them around a little bit to get different sides.
Well, not if you do them indirect.
Yeah. Right, but if you're doing them on your grill direct, you need to move them a little bit, like
oh, yeah.
you flip a burger,
yeah,
and then they fall
work.
Apart.
That doesn't work. Yeah.
So there's a gadget out there that is a little square, maybe a foot by a foot, great, and it's a meatball holder, right, that goes on the grill. And I've got one of these. It's like a little, almost like fish basket net, and it's got maybe room for 12 of those, and you put those on your in this clamshell thing. It clamps down both sides, and then you can flip the meatballs. And they'll cook, and it's a grilling thing. It's not
nice.
Not for the smoker. But I got one of those. Those
buy it online?
Out there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
wherever. I mean,
yeah, sure.
you know. But it's just one of those
They're
gadgets.
All come out of the
exists.
Same factory in China.
Yeah, exactly.
We both love grilled stuffed dates.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool thing to bring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Chef Jeff that gave us those
yep.
the first time.
Yep.
And you basically take a date, pitted date, and you stuff it with blue cheese or any
right.
kind of cheese you want.
Gorgonzola
yep.
or blue.
Whatever.
Yep.
And or something that even stuffs a little better is kind of nice. I've been buying this this cheddar out of Ireland that's like Kerrygold, I think they call
that's
it.
That's butter. Kerrygold
well,
makes a butter,
they make
too.
A cheese, too.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a real hard cheddar. And something like that you could slice off in slivers mm-hmm. and stuff in there. But stuffing the date is the tricky part.
Right. Well, it always has been your whole life. But
I don't. As I said that, I knew I made a mistake. So then you wrap it with a little bacon,
right?
And just get the bacon crispy.
Right.
Put a toothpick in it if you need.
Right.
And oh my gosh, is that a great treat?
And it's usually about a third of a because these dates are small. They're like the first knuckle up of your thumb, right?
Right.
I mean, they're small, so it's about you can usually get three of them wrapped with one strip of bacon. So it's not a huge
yeah.
huge amount of bacon
get
on
the
there.
Get the thin bacon,
right? But cook it up. Like you said, it's all ready to eat with the cheese and the date. It's the bacon you want to get cooked.
Yeah,
so,
the cheap.
Oh, they're good though.
The cheap thin
sweet,
bacon
salty,
is what you want.
That sweet salty combination.
Yeah.
Is just
you better. Can also stuff a pecan in there and
yep.
wrap it in bacon. That's
yep.
really good. But
water chestnuts wrapped
one of my,
in bacon. Those
one of,
are good too.
One of my favorites is to do is nachos on the grill.
I can't touch your nachos.
Everybody man. Loves nachos.
Right.
Everybody. I mean, do you remember the first time you had a nacho?
No, but I know I've had a lot of them, right? I don't remember the first one, but I love them.
I was in high school coming back from Ludington, and we used to stop at the Government Lake Bar.
I know where that
back.
Is.
Yeah.
Right on 37.
It might have been my senior year, and 18 you could drink, right? So we had been,
you're
on
that
the,
old?
Had been on the beach all day, and we're coming back through Baldwin, and we pulled into Government Lake Lodge or bar.
Right on the west side
and,
of the road at 37.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And we went in, ordered up a couple PBRs, and there was a whole group of us. And this waitress comes out and says, "We got this new item called chips and cheese."
Yeah.
And we're like, "What?"
Yeah.
Fell in love instantly.
Sure.
So that's a big deal in our house, but I think it's a big deal in a lot of places because I don't know of a restaurant that doesn't serve them.
Right. And especially for the Super Bowl, they're easy to make. And that's one of those things where you can put a lot of different stuff on chips and cheese and call it your own.
Yeah.
Right?
And you can put it on your grill if you have a big ceramic plate. Like a lot of people have pizza stones.
Right.
Those work great for nachos.
Right.
So you can put that right on your burner grate and it'll convect or it'll radiate the heat evenly so you won't burn your chips.
Right.
I would tell you to maybe put a little bit of oil on that stone before you put it down because cheese really wants to adhere.
But you're going to shut the lid, right?
But I'm going to get some, I'm going to get some chips that are big and curly and light,
mm-hmm.
but not too light. So your favorite chip, and El Matadors are great for this because they have enough body to them, and just build it up beautiful, you know, make it nice, as Big Paulie says.
Right.
And shut the lid and just leave her on there about 15 minutes. And when you bring that out, it's got a little black on the top, a little smoke, and your guests are going to love it.
All right. Ooh, making my mouth water. Coming up next, it's footballs for the football season. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grillin' Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're talking everything Super Bowl snacks today because, dang it, it ain't the Super Bowl unless you're throwing out a spread, and I don't want to spend all day cooking, so I want a bunch of appetizers. I love things on a handle, which means it comes on a skewer, and that way we don't have to get our fingers dirty. You got a handle. You can keep your beer in one hand and your food in the other and
That's
make
right.
somebody else. Nobody's changing the channel anyway, so
no.
You don't need the clicker hand, right?
So what's appropriate is something my family calls footballs. It's really fried kibbeh, or people call it kibbe. But it's basically ground lamb with wheat germ around the outside, and they form it like a football.
Right.
It literally looks – you've eaten them at our house.
How many times?
There's a place in Grand Rapids called Mediterranean Island Foods, and it's on the corner of Kalamazoo and 44th.
Right.
It's in a strip mall there. The guy is really cool, the owner, and – he has a wonderful Mediterranean market. Gets all sorts of great fresh pita breads from around the state, and it's very cool, very, very ethnic. You'll meet people in there from all over the world that live
right.
in Grand Rapids.
And the, one of the things that I find fascinating there is he's got olives that you'll never see anywhere
right.
else.
Right.
And he'll let you try one to see if you like it before you buy them, but it's really cool. I mean, there's some really unique stuff
and
in
there. And
his
homemade hummus is fantastic.
Yep.
He's also got the garlic spread, but for these footballs, we call them, I'm going to get some, I think it's called habna. It's a Mediterranean yogurt. It's like a butter spread, but it's yogurt. And you have to wipe a little bit of that on your kibbeh. It's kind of sour, and it's so good. So footballs are appropriate for that. Buffalo chicken dip.
All right. Hey. Ironically, later today, Lisa's son is on the Davenport. He's a captain of the Davenport hockey team, and they're having a mid-season banquet, and I'm bringing a skillet. You bought me this 24-inch cast iron skillet. It's huge, mm-hmm. right? Barely goes in my oven.
Right.
But I'm going to take, and we're going to make some buffalo chicken dip to take to this party because there's, you know, 24 horses on this team. And they're going to eat like crazy, and then you got all the parents and stuff that are there as well. Big party. I'm certainly not doing all the food, but this is my contribution, is this big skillet full of chicken dip. And it's great for a
Where's
party.
Where's this going to be at?
Here in Grand Rapids, just at one of the parents' houses.
Oh, okay.
So, but what we're going to do, and chime in on this, because you and I both make this, right? But I start out with a layer of cream cheese on the bottom of this skillet, right? And I'll mix in a little bit of Frank's Red Hot or whatever hot sauce you like in that cream cheese, and I'll mix it in, and I soften it a little bit so I can spread it across the bottom of this skillet about a quarter inch thick, right? And then I'm going to take and I'm going to put on my my chicken, and I might put, if you like it.
Is that going to be raw?
No. Thank you. Good point. I'm going to cook off the chicken. You can do it in a wok. You can smoke your chicken, which is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to use skinless, boneless breasts. And then I'm going to dice it up into little pieces. Okay? So I've got smoked chicken on it.
Why would you use breasts instead of thighs?
Just because there's more volume to them. I mean, I can cook three or four of them and have enough for the dish. And plus, everybody likes chicken breast, I guess. You could do it either way. Certainly, the thighs are very flavorful. But I feel like I get a smoother dice out of the breast because the thighs are a little misshapen, right, from time to time. But anyway.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm using the breast meat, and I'm going to lay that on top of there. But before I lay it on top of there, I buy a buffalo wing sauce, and I wish I could remember the manufacturer. Because,
there's a bunch of them.
But this one comes in a round plastic bottle, and it's got blue cheese mixed in with it. Mm. It's a blue cheese buffalo wing sauce. And I'll pour all that all over the chicken and mix it up in a bowl and then pour it on top of the cream cheese and spread it out.
You know, Sobe sells some like that.
Yeah, right? Maybe that's where I get it. Yep. I don't remember because I do this a couple times a year. But I'm going to spread it on there with that. And then I'm going to take some green onion, right, and slice them up and put that on top of there. And then another layer of crumbled blue cheese on top of that. And then I'm going to put on a sharp cheddar on top of that. And then it goes in my smoker and 275 for till that top cheese gets molten and is bubbling a little bit. And the cool part about this is when you bring it out and you set it on the table, that cast iron skillet's going to hold the heat in that thing for a half hour, 45 minutes. Putting it outside, you'll lose the heat quicker. But on the inside, remember to tell your guests, don't touch the skillet, because it stays hot and you don't want anybody to burn their hands. But just serve it with a spoon. I don't recommend. It's a little bit heavier of a dip with that cream cheese in there. I don't recommend just dipping a chip in it because right. You'll bust them all off, yeah. And then it gets a little nasty.
It does thicken up, and also you've got that meat as a binder, so it's a pretty heavy sludge. So you're right. Absolutely right, and you don't want to make it too sloppy, but you can make it a little more lucid if you want.
Yeah, mix some sour cream in with that cream cheese. That'll mm-hmm. loosen it up a little bit.
Or maybe pour a beer in it.
There you go, however you want to do it. But anyway, and there again, that's one of those things that you could put any number of ingredients in there. Oh. I forgot the one. When I said number of ingredients, I forgot one. I take raw sliced jalapeno peppers and put them on the very top. After I put the cheese, the cheddar on there, I set those and I slice them up in rings, right? And with the seeds in them and everything, and lay them right on top. And those then will cook down a little bit, but it makes a really cool presentation. And you can get a piece of hot pepper if you want it.
And you get all that good placental fiber.
Yeah, all of it. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. You can't say jalapeno without placental in Bob's world.
Capsicum.
Right.
Yeah, cool. That's my mouth's watering just thinking about it. Here's something else you really like is you love doing shrimp skewers.
I know. It's not your favorite, but I do. But go ahead. You wrote it down. You talk about
it. No.
Okay.
You like doing them.
I do.
So you have the passion for it.
I do.
I'm just okay with them.
Now, two tips on shrimp skewers.
One is cockroach of the ocean.
Right, yeah. One is take the shells off and the tails, okay? Don't leave the damn tail on there because somebody's expecting to take this and bite it and pull the skewer out and eat it, not have to mess around with the tail.
I don't know.
It's just my style.
Having that on there. So you're right. If it's on a skewer, that's when you can take the tail off. But if it's not, it gives you a handle.
Right. Well, as I said, we talked about it at the opening of this segment, is food with a handle.
Right.
I love it. But you can put anything you want between the shrimp. I usually glaze them with something either a little teriyaki or a little bit sweet. And if I go on a sweeter side, it might be some pepper jelly. It could be.
You want to go a little later with that when you put it on.
Right, yeah.
Kind of last minute.
But the thing with shrimp skewers is a piece of fruit between the shrimp, like a piece of pineapple.
Pineapple works great.
Works really well. And then maybe a sweet and sour glaze. Yeah, a piece of apple is what. But you're going to cook these things pretty quick. You guys know that shrimp cook up in a couple minutes on each side. So get them on there, maybe get them started, and then glaze them up. And because I'm a fan of if you're doing a sweet or a sticky glaze, I want it sweet and sticky. I don't want it liquidy. So I'm going to let
that
it
a
cook
song,
a
Mr. Producer?
Right, it is. I'm sure it is. But
here's an easy one: steak bites, mm-hmm. and you can make your own steak sauce very easily. And here's a great way: if you run out of, my kids love A1 right. to this day. It's a biggie in our house. You saw it at the steak night.
Right.
There, how many empty bottles of A1 were there?
Well, they had five bottles of sauce up there. There were four A1s and some other one.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody's that way. Yeah.
So you can simply take some ketchup and add Worcestershire sauce to it, and you have a wonderful steak sauce.
Right.
Believe me, it's that easy. Some Hunt's ketchup, too. No Heinz. But steak bites are really nice. You can do it two different ways. You can cook your steak up and then just cut it into bites, which looks really cool because you can see some pink. Or you can cut it into cubes and just saute it or right. throw it in a basket and grill it.
Right.
Either way, whichever way you like. But I would just use tenderloin for that. I mean, yep. Sirloin for that
right.
because it's really flavorful. They're small pieces, and sirloin's a little chewier than some of your finer steaks, but the flavor's so good
right.
and it's more affordable.
Yep.
That one little bite like that, it's okay if it's a little chewier.
Right.
If it's a great big piece, you want it a little softer so you can tear it off as you yep. as you take your bite.
And that's a good thing to put on a platter and stick toothpicks in it.
Yep.
So people can just grab one with a toothpick.
Yeah.
And again, it's got to have a handle.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Little Hunt's ketchup and yeah. Worcestershire
yeah.
works great.
Coming up next, if you're having a party, generally everybody has a big platter of wings. We're going to talk about how to cook some wings. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
That big band sound for the Super Bowl intro. That's cool. Hey, this is Jop, and you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Barbecue Bob, we've been talking about Super Bowl food, which is just one of our favorite things because what it really is it's party food. And this time of year, we get to do it when it's all munchies. We don't have to sit down and throw down a big,
that's right.
big meal.
That's right. And the best part is this year, the Super Bowl will be worth watching.
Right. Yeah.
I'm actually excited.
Right. Yep. Great teams.
I just think that Kansas City is going to have a time. What do you think, Brian? Mr. Producer, Brian Fonger is producing us here. And he's the wizard of the big board, of course, every week for us. And he actually works for ESPN and Wood Radio and does a lot of sportscasting himself.
Yes. I'm very excited for the Super Bowl as well. It's a unique matchup. Patrick Mahomes of Kansas City.
Oh, my gosh. That guy is amazing.
Everybody's been saying that he reminds everybody of Brett Favre 2.0.
Oh,
he's kind of a gunslinger.
Yeah.
You know, just throws.
The boy's got wheels.
He does.
And he's a tank. Now, you tell me, when he was busting through and made the touchdown,
yeah.
and he's tumbling and spinning,
yeah.
some of that also comes from the fact that everybody's afraid to touch a quarterback, isn't it?
That is true. The rules protect the quarterback.
Because that's not quite right. I think if they're going to break out and run,
yeah.
there's no protection.
Oh, yeah. If he's a runner, all bets are off. I mean, he could get.
But I think they.
But you saw him. You saw him in that last 5 yards. He broke two or three tackles and was able to get in.
And the one guy almost pushed him.
Right. Yeah.
He was like, I'm not touching you.
Right. Yeah. And
so it's a brilliant strategy. Hire your quarterbacks that can run.
Right.
Absolutely. I think he's awesome.
No, he is good.
I spotted him years ago when he started for them, and I said, man, this guy is really something. And I've lost track of him, and then watching the game last weekend, I'm like, yeah, I forgot how good he was.
If I had to choose, I'd take Kansas City right now.
Well,
right?
You know who used to coach for them is Dick Vermeil.
Yes.
And he'll be on next week with us. So we'll get his opinion on that. So, Jop, you got some really cool pork, and I want to say red flannel. What was it?
Waddle.
Red waddle.
Red waddle.
Yeah.
It was red waddle from our friends at Sobey Meats. And it's an heirloom pig, and what that means is commercial pork been bred for volume.
It's the Kobe.
Right, yeah. It's been bred for volume. Which is, you know, the way the commercial markets work. But this is an heirloom pig, and what it means is there's still more marbling in the meat, where your commercial pork doesn't have as much marbling in the loin.
It's heirloom, so he can bring his ancestry back to the Mayflower.
Right, exactly.
Well, anyway, I took that piece you left me, and I cut it up into chops.
Right.
Jop.
Right.
And
because it was bone-in loin.
Well,
right?
It was. And a few days prior to that, I was at Sobey, picking up all the steak for men's night, and I bought 4 stuffed pork chops. He stuffs the pork chops right there, and I baked those for my daughter and her husband that had the little baby Genevieve and the other night. And I'm telling you, that was so good that I took that loin you gave me, and I chopped that up into chops, and then I made a stuffing for on top of it. And this was the exciting part. I'm not a stuffing guy.
Right.
Because most stuffing sucks.
Bland.
Yeah. So what I did was I pulled a loaf of frozen baguette out of the freezer, and I left it on the counter.
That's French for bread.
Yep. I left it on the counter all day, and then I chopped it up with my big madman cleaver and baked those little cubes. I threw it in a bowl and put some.
Did you make like croutons?
Before I did that, I sprinkled it with garlic salt, and then I baked it in the oven for about 40 minutes. So they're nice and big and crispy. And then I put it in a bowl and I mixed together, oh gosh, now I'm not going to be able to think of it. I had chicken broth, a myriad of spices. One of them was nutmeg. And then I put in some dried cranberries, and some pecans.
Okay.
And I chopped up the pecans. And I put in a few other things, too. I can't
celery,
quite
onion.
Recall. Oh, yes, celery and onion. Thank you. And so I made this slurry, and then I put all these breadcrumbs in there, tumbled it around, and I took big mounds of it and put it on these pre-seasoned chops. I put a little salt and pepper on, basically. Right. And I put the stuffing on top in a big cake pan, ceramic, and I threw them all in the oven. And I baked it until the pork chops were at, like, 143. I turned my oven up to 450, threw it on convection, and toasted it off for about 5 minutes until that topping got golden brown, pulled them out, and that combination of pecans and cranberry. Oh, I put apple in there too. Chopped apple. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That was such a beautiful combination. It wasn't the typical Thanksgiving, tastes like every other stuffing.
Right.
This was just a nice little custom thing for a pork chop.
Right.
That's why I wanted the apple and cranberry in there, because it'd be kind of like a chutney with some bread to it.
Right. Yeah.
My wife loves stuffing.
Right.
She went nuts.
Yeah. And the chops were good too.
They were.
This heirloom chop. There's just marbling in it. They're a little more flavorful.
Yep.
Is the way I would, the simple explanation of it.
Yep.
They're good. But
I would tell you, those stuffed pork chops that Sobey sells, and it sounds like a Sobey commercial, but those stuffed pork chops that he sells are just fine on their own.
Right.
They're like $3.49 a pound.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
They're wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. I greased up a skillet. I put some Old World Olive Company garlic oil on the bottom of this skillet. I was at Maggie's house and preheated her oven to 350, threw those babies in there, and I bet you in 20 minutes they were done.
Right.
145 in the center.
Yeah, don't overcook your pork.
Oh,
it's dry like a hockey puck.
Oh, my gosh, they were so good.
Yeah.
Man,
so
there's some Super Bowl.
So back
food.
To the Super Bowl.
okay, any food's good for the Super
right,
Bowl.
Right, but everybody does wings, right? And everybody's got their favorite recipe for wings and their favorite sauce. So we're not going to teach you anything about that because you've had wings. You all have, but
well, maybe
I don't know if you do them on the smoker.
Some people have it.
Right? And
yeah.
You talked about getting the deep fryer out. Let's talk about that combination.
Well, here's something really cool that one of my barbecue buddies does. He smokes them and then deep fries them.
That's what I want to talk about.
And
right.
that's something else you can do. But if you are smoking them or if you're putting them on your grill, I don't know, you got to smoke them for a couple hours. And then when you do something that sears them and gets that skin crispy.
Right.
And I buy fresh wings
right.
from Sobe. You go to your butcher, buy fresh wings, and then chop them up. Throw the little flipper away.
Right.
Chop them up. Don't get the frozen ones if you can avoid it. You'll notice the difference when you do. They're really good. And then I'm going to just roll them in some – I'm going to probably do the lime EVO from Old World.
Right.
And then I'm going to throw some Memphis rub on them.
Which is a citrus-based barbecue rub as well.
Yeah, it's like pig's butt or pig's ass, I think they call it. Several different Memphis blends. And then I'm going to throw them in the smoker. You can throw them in your oven if you want. An oven's even nicer, actually, especially if you have a convection oven, because you can bake them for an hour, and then you can throw it on convection for about 10 or 15 minutes and really crisp those babies up. And then just serve them like that and have your sauces to dip them in if you want to dip them.
Right.
Or you can spread some sauce on at the last minute as you finish them, or you can do like Big Bob Gibson does down in Decatur, Alabama, and you can get some of that white Alabama barbecue sauce, and you can dip those in the white sauce as you put them on the plate,
right?
And it's not white after 2 seconds. It's black, and it's fantastic. It's akin to ranch dressing. You might even try dipping them in ranch dressing and then setting them on the platter when you're right out of the oven, when they're sizzling hot. Do it like a real man.
It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man!
Feel like a man. It's Super Bowl time. Thou shalt not inhibit another man's game. So, okay, if your buddy's sweet on somebody, don't be a jerk.
That's right. Don't do it. It's not appropriate.
You don't want him lonely forever.
Nope. You sure don't. So we were talking a little bit about wings. This white sauce, it's a mayo-based sauce,
it is,
right?
And you can go online, look for Big Bob Gibson.
Right.
And that's a famous barbecue guy. Chris Lilly, we've had him on the show before. He's Big Bob's granddaughter's husband. He's now the KCBS champion. You see him on all kinds of food shows. He's a judge very often for Chopped.
Right.
But he's a heck of a guy. And he's got two restaurants in Alabama at least, but big time competition griller. But Big Bob Gibson, everything's big. Yeah. Big Bob Gibson. Came up with this white sauce. And when people talk about Alabama barbecue, they very often will say the white sauce.
Right.
Well, it's not a white barbecue sauce you pour on your barbecue. It's a white sauce you dip chicken in.
Okay.
And that's all you do with it.
Wow. That sounds good.
I got some at home if you want some.
Yeah, well, or you can make it probably. Anything's on the interweb, right? But coming up next, make them, don't buy them. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. And we've been talking Super Bowl munchies and food with a couple little rabbit trails, but we're back on track. And we're going to bring this train to the station and finish this up. And Barbecue Bob, you were talking about some sort of little Hawaiian tasty treat.
Some people call it rumaki. And some people make them differently, and I don't know if rumaki was like Greek or something, but Hawaiian wraps are another. Basically, we're talking about a chicken liver.
Ooh.
Were you ever called a chicken liver when you were a kid?
I was not, because I've never really been fond of chicken livers, but you can teach me how to make one good.
Well, that was a saying when I was a kid. He's a chicken liver. I think your chicken was basically.
I think it was a chicken a little further down the track than I was called.
Sure. Anyway, chicken liver, it's not good for much, right?
Right. Well, they're not very big either.
Feed it to your dog. This is a way that'll blow people away, and they won't even know what they're eating. But basically, you make a little marinade, and it's soy sauce, fresh ginger, some dry sherry, and some sugar. Matter of fact, I'll be bringing this to Greg Brown's.
Okay.
You marinate them overnight. You put your water chestnuts and your chicken liver in this marinade overnight. Then the next morning, you put them on a toothpick. So you run a toothpick through the chicken liver. Now, you wrap the chicken liver and the water chestnut up in bacon. Then you put a toothpick through the whole thing. You grill it so that it's done.
Once again, thin bacon? Doesn't matter? Because you want to get the liver done.
Probably.
Inside,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, back when we used to do it, it was just bacon. There was only one thing. Bacon was just all the same.
Bacon was bacon.
Now there's all kinds of variations. Thank God. Anyway, so grill that up. And then I would cheat and buy some Chinese sweet and sour sauce, because I've never made it, and why bother? There's so many good ones right on the shelves at your supermarket, but it's basically red, and it's kind of a cherry sauce, sweet and sour sauce, and you grill these up, so you can do water chestnut, which would be rumaki, or you can put a pineapple on the end of it and then wrap it. So it's chicken liver, pineapple, wrapped in bacon, then grilled. That's my favorite way to do it.
Okay.
You could probably even do the water chestnut with the pineapple, but it's overkill. But you grill this up, and then you put that sweet and sour sauce on it, or teriyaki sauce, and watch what happens.
Are you saucing them while they're still on the heat, or is it you're brushing them after
you put
them
on a plate, and you drizzle it over it.
Okay. All right.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So the sauce is like a condiment rather than a grilling.
Yeah. You put it on when they're hot, and keep them hot, and it'll just be beautiful. Mm. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hawaiian wraps.
Fantastic.
So I'm looking forward to Super Bowl. I'm gonna say it's going to be one of the best games we've seen in a long time. What do you say there, Brian Fonger?
It has the potential to be. You got San Francisco's rushing attack, because they destroyed Green Bay last week with the running game against the aerial assault of the Chiefs.
I left that before halftime.
Oh, yeah. All the Cheesehead fans and around the country were sulking by the end of the first half. It was unreal. They got destroyed up front.
It reminded me of Michigan State when they went to Alabama.
Yeah.
That was so hard to watch.
All right, well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, get out there and enjoy this Super Bowl. Get your grill fired up or your smoker and make yourself some treats, and we'll talk with you next week.
See you.